The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, I'm going to be talking this morning about increasing our faith. And the reason I chose that scripture or that title is because Jesus' disciples asked him to increase their faith. Specifically, came to him one day and said to him, an apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So it's important that we recognize that even the disciples that walked with Jesus realized that it was necessary to have your faith increased. And what that tells me is that faith is something that you can measure. It's quantitative. There's small faith, no faith, faith. Little faith, Jesus said, and great faith. Faith is something that we all have. We all have a measure of faith according to the Word of God. And with that measure of faith, we're to take that faith when we come into the kingdom of God and do something with that faith. Grow that faith. Cause that faith to become greater than it was previously. Faith grows. Faith is essential to a personal, trusting response to Almighty God. He speaks to us through His Word, and we have faith that He will fulfill His promises to us. Amen? There was a pastor who had a parrot. And his parrot, all his parrot would say is, let's pray. Let's pray. He tried as hard as he could to get that parrot to say something else. He couldn't get that parrot to say a thing other than, let's pray, let's pray. Well, he found out he had a friend that had a parrot, and his parrot, the only thing his parrot would say is, let's kiss, let's kiss. So he said, well, let's put the two parrots together. He had a male parrot, friend had a female parrot, and they brought the female parrot over and put her in the cage with the male parrot. The male parrot looked her over. She looked at him and she said, let's kiss, let's kiss, let's kiss. The male parrot said, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. Amen. Know how to get a parrot to talk, huh? Well, the truth is, sometimes we think that faith is all about getting what we want, right? But that's not what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is more than we can even imagine. Faith is believing that God is well able to take us to a new place in our life. Faith is understanding that our God loves us so much. He loves us just the way we are, but He loves us so much that He does not want to leave us there. He wants us to take us on. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to grow. He wants us to recognize that there are things in our life, throughout our whole life, that need to change. That's what real faith is all about. Now, faith is necessary to see signs and wonders. Faith is necessary to see healing. Faith is necessary to see the operation of the gifts in the body of Christ and for us to operate in the gifts on a daily basis. Faith is important, and faith can grow. Faith is absolutely, it has degrees, or more appropriately, it grows as we grow spiritually. In Luke chapter 17, verse 6, the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up, by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, here's something that is really, it's extremely important that we catch hold of this. Because lots of people will tell you, well, you know, that Jesus was just trying to give us an image of how powerful our faith can be as we go through difficulties in life. He wasn't really saying that you could actually speak to a mulberry tree and cast it into the sea. I've heard this over and over and over by faithless preachers. But the reality is, you need to go back and read what Jesus was talking about. Jesus had just cursed a fig tree, and that fig tree dried up. In a couple of the Gospels, right before their eyes, in one Gospel, in the other Gospels, it came back the next day, and it had happened. Now, that didn't take away from the miracle and the reality that it happened. These are just men trying to, with the power of the Holy Spirit, accounting for situations that occurred during the time that Jesus was walking on the face of the earth. Maybe we have two different situations. We're not sure. But the reality is, Jesus spoke to a fig tree and it withered up. And then he says this, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this tree, be cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. Jesus was saying you will literally be able to say to this tree. Wow, that's hard to comprehend, isn't it? In another place, he said you'd be able to speak to this mountain, be removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. Literally, Jesus is telling us that we can do these things when we recognize the power that we have in His spoken word and putting faith in the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. A mustard seed is a very tiny seed, but it can grow quite rapidly and quite large. There are basically four mustard plants in Israel and that have been there for centuries. But most likely, Jesus was talking about the black mustard. It's a shrub-like plant that, under the right conditions, grows very rapidly and pretty large. Today, there are wild mustard plants near the Jordan River that are over 10 feet tall. In order to grow that large, though, they have to have a lot of sunshine and lots of water. So being by the Jordan, that's what they have. Now, as I share this message with you this morning, I'd like for you to think about the things that Jesus is emphasizing here. A small seed that can grow into a large plant, and it can grow very rapidly, depending on the conditions that it's in. Now, as we think about this, I believe that God has given every person a measure of faith. The Scripture bears that out. So we all come into the kingdom with faith. What we do with that faith, are we going to water that faith? Are we going to put it in the right conditions where it'll get the sunshine? Are we going to nurture it, take care of it? Are we going to allow it to increase? If we do, the more we do that, and the more rapidly it will grow. And what we want, of course, is large faith, increased faith. What we want more than anything else is great faith, according to the kingdom of God, what God wants for us. So what we want to look at this morning is, if faith can be measured, how do we do that? How can we measure our faith? James chapter 2, verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And then in verse 26, it says this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So how do we measure our faith? We measure our faith by our works. Absolutely. Now, in Mark, it tells us these are the kind of works that the believer will, will be able to do. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name, that shall cast out devils, that shall speak with new tongues. They, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All right, those are signs and wonders. Those are miracles. That's awesome. Those are the works that the kingdom, that the people of the kingdom of God should be walking in. There's no doubt about that. But I want you to understand something. There are other works. There are other things that we should be doing that that actually are a great indication of our faith. Now, the word is very clear. It does seem to teach that our faith and our works work together. So let's look at some things. There's four kinds of faith found in the New Testament. Each one gives us an understanding of what I'm talking about this morning, the importance of the quantity of our faith. The first one of really no faith at all, but Jesus talks about it, it's unbelief or faithless. It's actually, I believe, that this is faith in fear. We have more faith in fear sometimes, or faith in things that are contrary to the Word of God than we do in the Word of God and in the things that Jesus taught us. When Jesus was in his own country in Nazareth, Jesus was teaching there, and the people rejected him. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it says this, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Because they were concerned, because they were afraid, because they were familiar with Jesus, who grew up in that region, they were familiar with him, they couldn't put their faith in him. So they had little faith, or they really had no faith, unbelief. The second one is little faith. Jesus told his disciples one day to cast out from the shore, to go out into the sea, to go to the other side. He was in the boat and he fell asleep. While he was in the boat, a great storm arose. It was tossing them around and they were fearful. And they woke Jesus up and they said, "Do something, we're going to perish." And Jesus looked at them and he said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. Now, Jesus didn't say, "Oh, you don't have any faith." He said, "You have little faith." He realized that they had walked with him long enough to see some miracles and see things happen. So they had a little bit of faith. And Jesus is rebuking them. That's not enough. We can't just have a little bit of faith. When we first come into the kingdom as believers in Jesus Christ, we all come in with a little bit of faith. But that little bit of faith needs to grow. It needs to become more and greater. Jesus had great expectations of his disciples, that they would come into the complete faith that he had for them. In fact, he taught them so much that he sent them out into the region, into the cities, so that they could pray for the sick and cast out devils and do all kinds of wonderful works in his name. And they went out and did it. So their faith was growing. But at this point in their life, they had little faith. It's okay. I hope you have little faith. I want you to start out with little faith, but don't stay there. Little faith needs to grow to the next level, faith. When Jesus was walking along one day, a man started crying out. His name was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David." He knew who he was. He called him Messiah. "Son of David, help me. Help me." And he just kept crying out, and people said, "Shut up. Don't bother the master. Leave him alone. Be quiet." But you know what? He wasn't going to be deterred by the naysayers. When you have faith, no matter what is going on around you, if you have faith in what God has called you to do, no one will deter you from accomplishing what God's called you to. The naysayers will say you can't do it. The naysayers will stop you. Not only, now here, it's one thing for people outside of the body of Christ to say, you can't do that. But I'm astounded by how many people will tell you, you can't do that in the body of Christ. Things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And Jesus said, bring him forth. He wasn't going to be deterred. He just kept yelling and screaming out, help me, Jesus. And Jesus said, bring him here. He said, what can I do for you? I'm always amazed by this. This guy's blind and Jesus knows it. He said, what do you want? You know what? He just wanted to hear it out of his mouth. He wanted him to say, I need healing, Jesus. I know you can heal me. Heal me of this blindness. And this is what Jesus said to him. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Don't let other people stop you. Don't let anybody hold you back. I can guarantee if God speaks to you to do something, there's going to be, the enemy's going to use people. Sometimes these people don't mean to be used by the enemy, but they are. They'll try to stop you. They'll try to hold you back. I can remember so many years ago, just starting out as a believer in Jesus Christ and desiring to, Tammy and I desired to work with youth, and we started this youth group. I can't tell you how much opposition we got, not from outside, but from right in the church. People tried to stop it. They wanted to stop the work that God had called us to. But I can tell you this, like then and every time in my life that God has called me to do something, it spoke to my heart, I heard directly from God. And when I hear directly from God, no one is going to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. And that's not because I'm awesome. It's because we have an awesome God. I can trust in Him. You can trust in Him. He's on the throne. And because of that, we not only did the youth group, but we went on to do youth crusades in the area. And God just ministered in an awesome way. Praise God. And once again, I just want you to know, it's God didn't just choose me. He's choosing you. You are a child of the Most High God. If God puts something in your heart, no devil, no principality, no power, no gulf, no river, no mountain is so big that you cannot accomplish it. God will bring it to pass. Trust Him. Follow Him. Believe. But you need to get a word from God, I can tell you that. You need to hear from the Lord. Bartimaeus heard. He heard the voice of Jesus. Jesus was walking around and teaching. And Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus. He said, who is this? And they said, it's Jesus. And he had heard stories about Jesus. So he cried out. He wasn't going to let them stop him from coming into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus gave him his miracle. The last faith is great faith. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. If you have your Bible, your phone, your iPad, whatever it is, laptop, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is laying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." This man was not a Jew, and yet he had great faith to believe that Jesus was able just to speak the word. Because he was in a position of authority. He told people to go here and go there, come, and they had to do it. And he understood the spiritual realm because of the physical. He understood that Jesus could say, "Let it be done," and it would be done. He understood the power of the spoken word. The word of God is powerful. When you have a need, speak the word. Speak it over your household. Speak it over your family. Do whatever it takes. Get some scriptures. Put them on the refrigerator. Put them on your mirror. Do whatever it takes. Let God speak to your heart on a daily basis. The word of God is powerful. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut away the things of the flesh and reveal the things of the Spirit. So we can measure our faith as we see through these scriptures. It's quantity of faith. So we measure our faith with works. Here's a quote from a gentleman, Raymond Edmond. What is faith? Faith is dead to doubt, dumb to discouragement, blind to impossibilities, knows nothing but success. Faith lifts its hand up through the threatening clouds, lays hold of him who has all power in heaven on earth. Faith makes the up look good and the outlook bright, the inlook favorable, and the future glorious. We can trust by faith that God has a future and a hope for us, no matter what we're going through. I believe this quote by George Bernard Shaw really helps us to capture what faith is, because he says, "You see things that are and ask why, but I dream things that never were and ask why not." That should be the Christian statement. That should be the believer's statement of faith. We can ask why and why not? Why not accomplish this? Why not? Why not wipe out the drug epidemic in our area? Why not see families healed and brought back together? Why not see the divorce rate decline in our area? Why not see our children taught the Word of God and the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives? Why not see a revival in our schools and in our churches and in our area, in our society? Why not? Because we don't believe it's possible sometimes. All things are possible with God, and nothing is impossible with our God. When we raise our expectations to the level of the Word of God, and we recognize that even though it's impossible with man, it's not possible with God, things begin to happen. We will walk by faith and not by sight. And we will trust that our God is going to do a mighty miracle. You know, not too far from here, down in West Virginia, I'm not exactly sure what area of West Virginia, but there's been a youth revival going on. Perry Stone talks about it. Youth are getting on fire for the Lord. Now, people say, "Oh, you know, this generation these days." Man, I know when I'm starting to become the older generation when I start thinking thoughts like that. This generation these days, well, they're no different than any other generation. We have a responsibility to share the truth of the gospel. And when God gets a hold of the hearts and the minds of young people, they'll turn this community upside down. And I believe that's exactly what God wants to have happen. Our young men and our young women will see visions and dream dreams. Our young men and our young women will hear the voice of God and speak prophecy and words of knowledge, words of wisdom. It's time for our young men and our young women to rise up and fulfill the calling of God in their life. To know that they're greater than the things that the world is trying to put on them. That they have a high calling, a right place, a power inside of them that overcomes the things of this world. So we measure our faith by our works. What kind of works? Well, we know it's signs and wonders, but it's more than that. James chapter 1, verse 27 says this, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Okay, that's faith. When we do these things, that's faith working in our hearts. That's faith working in our lives. Meeting people's needs. One of the things I'm very thankful for is this church and the desire for everyone here to reach out and touch people's lives. We have people from time to time that just stop in here and they have needs. Now listen, I want you to understand something. We take a great risk sometimes helping people that just randomly come along. We take the risk of being taken advantage of. It's a risk well worth it. Because I know that we have helped people that truly were in need. You don't always get all that. We do our best. We ask questions. We say, you know, we try to find out what they're doing, where they're coming from. We had a person come through, a family come through a couple weeks ago on their way. They said they were leaving Tennessee on their way to New York. The guy said he had a job in New York. We didn't know these people. They had Tennessee license plates. We knew nothing about them other than he said, "We need to get there and we're running out of money. We don't have gas. We're not asking for your money. If you'd help us with the gas, if you'd give us something to eat, that's all we need." Well, the guys that was working here, they took up an offering. They gave him some money. He didn't ask for it. We took him up to the store, got him some food, filled up their gas tank. I don't know. I believe we did the right thing. Because we were reaching out with a desire and compassion to help these people. If they took advantage of us, that's on them. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, overflowing. You know, I don't have the scripture right. Pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. There you go. Sorry about that. God. That's God's promise to us. And as I said earlier, we don't do it out of that motivation. We do it knowing that God is faithful to His Word. People are doing, you know, some of the guys went down to Susie's and ladies went down to Susie's and had a roof cave in, or not the roof cave in, the ceiling fell. And some of the guys went down and helped. Some of the ladies helped clean up. This is the outworking of faith in our lives. We're supposed to do these kind of things for one another. Reach out to each other. Our food pantry that the Maxis are manage. What an outreach, touching the hearts of people. Touching people's lives. We're not just, "Well, I'll pray for you if you haven't." No, we're going to meet your need. Let's do what God. See, meeting people's needs, having compassion. That is showing your faith. That's a manifestation of faith in your life. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the Old Testament. Now, I mention this because in Jesus' day, the Pharisees were really big on religious ceremonies. They were really big on washing their hands. They were really big on praying prayers before they ate their meals. They were really big on going to their services and following the law. They were really big on religious ceremonies. And yet, they missed it because Jesus said, yeah, you're all about doing these things and tithing, but you're leaving out the important things. You're leaving out justice and mercy and compassion. You're taking advantage of people. Praise God that we are moving away from religious ceremony and religious dogma that holds us back. And we're moving into an area where our religion is pure and undefiled, like James said, where we're willing to reach out and touch the hearts and minds of people and meet their needs. Micah said this in the Old Testament, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" That's what God is looking for. Yes, hallelujah, I'm looking for the signs and wonders. I'm looking for the healings. I'm looking for the miracles. I believe that's part of our great faith. But if we're not doing these other things, we are really missing it. Look for opportunities. Let God give you an opportunity. You young people, when you're at school, let God give you an opportunity to touch somebody. Amen. With love and compassion. Reach out to them. Doesn't matter what other people are thinking, what other people are doing. You be the example. You set the standard. You be the leader. You may not feel like a leader, but with God, all things are possible. Spurgeon said this. He defines faith this way. Faith is believing that Christ is what he said he'd be and that he will do what he has promised to do, then expecting it to be done. That's pretty simple. Sometimes, in order to increase our faith, we have to be willing to get rid of or let go of things in our life. We have to stop trying to control every situation. Amen. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to raise both because I like to control things in my life. And you think I'm bad? My wife is really, she'd be raising feet and hands both. And I'm not condemning her. Praise God, she gets involved and she controls and she manages. She does a great job. Hallelujah. But sometimes we just have to let go. We got to stop trying to control everything in our life. We have to, by faith, walk and recognize that God is the one that is in control and that He's going to lead and direct us and He's going to make all things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. That's us. That's anyone who has made Christ their personal Savior. And if you have not made Christ your personal Savior, we can fix that. Amen? But it all works to our good. He has promised. He tells us that He has good thoughts for us, that He loves us. He's not a giant judge sitting on this huge throne with a gavel in His hand trying to condemn us all the time. He loves His people. He has good thoughts. He has a hope and a future for us. That's the kind of Father we have. Now, I want to say, in saying that, I also want to say, That doesn't mean you have a license to do whatever you want to do. God has standards. He expects His people to live according to righteous standards that are outlined in the Word of God. Therefore, we must obey His Word. Jesus said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He didn't say, "If you love me, it's okay, do whatever you want to do." No, He said, "I have standards. I have commandments that I expect of you." So please, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, seek the kingdom of God. Love the Lord God and let go. Let God have control. Let God be in control. That's real faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is walking in these things that we're talking about. Not only signs and wonders, but walking in a loving, compassionate humility, compassion and humility that touches people who are sometimes even aggressive toward the things of God. But if we walk in love, if we do what we're supposed to, then our God is able to work through us, in us, and with us to touch other people. I'm encouraging you this morning to let go. Just let go. Look for God's opportunities. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, look for the opportunity to minister to other people. I believe the signs and wonders will come if we will do the rest of it. Do what we know to do. We walk in faith before our God. If we refuse to allow the enemy to hold us back. You know, Billy Graham was fond of telling a story about a little boy who had stuck his hand down in a vase or a vase, wherever you're from. It was an antique. It was very expensive. And he couldn't get his hand out. His father tried and tried. They couldn't get this thing off his hand. They were thinking about breaking it, and it was very expensive. Finally, the father said, "Okay, one more time, we're going to try this. This time, Johnny, what I want you to do is make sure your hand is open like this completely, and I'm going to pull it off." And Johnny said, "Oh, no, Daddy, I can't do that. I'll drop my dime." Sometimes we hold on to our dime. Sometimes we're holding on to things that would make it very simple. All God wants to do is just slip that thing right off from us. But we're holding on too tight. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Bow your head, please. Father God, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we're here this morning to increase our faith. And I ask that you increase each and every one of us today, Lord. And help us as we go out from this place to look for opportunities to minister to people. Faith will be about your business. Faith will be kind in the face of anger and opposition. Faith will set the situation right when injustice is being perpetrated on someone. Faith will walk in love and compassion for others, no matter what kind of lifestyle they have, no matter whether we agree or disagree. Faith will love unconditionally. Father God, we just ask that you touch us today. We'll go from this place with great faith, we'll be bold. We ask for boldness in our hearts and our minds, Lord God, that we will be able to do the things that you call us to do. But help us always to be motivated by the things, no matter what we're doing. If we're able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover or cast out a devil or speak with a new tongue or whatever it is, Father God, that you call us to do. If we are able to do that, Father God, help us to always be motivated by justice and mercy and love. That we will fulfill all that you have for us in this life, Father God, because you have much for us to accomplish. That we will go from this place today anticipating the opportunities that you're going to bring to us, Lord, to be about your business and walk by faith and not by sight. We just give you praise and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.